94 WHAS. It's the Francine Show, but it's not Francine. She's off on vacation today. Started her weekend a little bit early. I'm Paul Harris, proud to be behind the microphone, and I thank you for listening. We've been talking all morning about the impact of these 2 weeks of political conventions on the electoral process in this country. Have minds been changed by John McCain and Sarah Palin this week? Were they changed last week by Barack Obama and Joe Biden? And what about the role of the media in all this? They certainly were turned into the Republican bogeyman again in Sarah Palin's speech on Wednesday night. So I've asked the guy who also has his eye on the media to come on and talk about it. He's a senior editor of Editor and Publisher, blogs at enppub.com. His name is Joe Strupp, their senior editor. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hi, and thanks for plugging our new blog that you launched this week.
And has some pretty cool stuff on it.
The ENP Pub.
Yeah, so, I like it.
Be there and wish you were, you know, or wish you were. And it's been fun and a real outlet for doing a lot of stuff that doesn't fit into the, quote, news stories, but is and sometimes is more interesting and more telling. But thank you.
You're very welcome. So your take on Sarah Palin versus the media.
Well, you know, it's I love this. You get these politicos on both sides that at 1 minute they're saying the press isn't covering enough, and then the next minute they're saying they're being unfair. It's, you know, this is what happens, and this is why reporters have to be tough and dig out the news and just throw it out there and do the analysis, and this woman is perfect subject for that. I think reporters have rightly shown that McCain didn't vet her enough, or perhaps as much as he should have. Whether that's good or bad is up to your view of her, but the fact is they didn't do a lot of reviewing. There's a lot here to look into. What did she do as mayor? What did she do as governor? What's going on with this Troopergate scandal? What's going on with her family? I think is fair game to a degree. I think you can report something that the campaign announced, which was that her daughter was pregnant. You report that she had her own children, and she made a point of saying, here's my Down syndrome child, and that is a relevant point. Now, once you get to the level of following the daughter around, getting into the boyfriend's blog page and Facebook, which some places have done, you could question that. But overall, I think this is good journalism if it keeps on going. And those who are complaining on the right that this is unfair, you know if the roles were reversed, this was a Obama or Clinton or someone else running mate, they would be saying you're not doing enough.
So you think Palin opened up scrutiny of her family?
I think to a degree. I think there are levels of this, and I think the main press, and of course I remain the newspaper mouthpiece. I still say newspapers do the best job. I think most of the daily newspapers that are covering are doing a fair job, including the hometown Anchorage Daily News, which has really done a lot of stuff on her. They ran a couple editorials. I thought it was a great approach yesterday where they basically said, here are the editorials we've run on her going back months. Some were complimentary of things she had done. Some were critical. And they've laid out a lot about her history, I think, in a fair way. And I think a lot of the papers that are covering her, the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, what have you, are looking at the fair aspects. Now, things like the New York Post putting her daughter's picture on the front page, and some sites, Us Weekly, is getting some criticism for a very hard story. But you're not going to those outlets for the real political news on her, and this is what you do. You vet, you look at these politicians who are running the country. And I would equally say that you could criticize them both for not doing enough of this on both McCain and Obama. There's still a lot on McCain's, Keating Five connections, on his previous marriage and how that ended into his current marriage, on Obama's votes and stance on a lot of things. There's still a lot there that has to come out. But this is obviously the story of the week because Palin is young, she's unknown, she's the first woman Republican VP nominee, she's very colorful, she's got an interesting background, she's got this family that's had its own problems, and she basically jumped from small town mayor to governor to now national spotlight. There's nothing wrong with doing objective coverage if you're bringing out fair and accurate reporting. Now, if you start reporting things that aren't true or speculating or gossiping, then, you know, that's not right no matter who you're dealing with.
Yeah, that's for the blogosphere.
So, well, I'm not, you know, I'm a fan of certain blogs that do it accurately and fairly. And, you know, this is the age we're in. If people thought that this woman was, or anyone, Joe Biden or someone, you know, if it was roles reversed, if McCain had picked a Biden-level person, not in terms of, I'm not saying competency, that he is more or less competent, but someone who people know, he ran for president several times, well-known person in the Senate, he had his own problems that are being brought up, his plagiarism of a speech, etc., and Obama had picked some unknown person, that person would get the scrutiny. And if they didn't, then the press wouldn't be doing their job.
So this has been the press trying to fill an information void?
It is. It, you know, and again, it's all different levels. You know, I love people bringing out this term, the media, like we're all one big, you know, blob of the same make.
You know, I was talking about this last night at the meeting of the media where we all decided what we would do today. You weren't there, Joe?
I didn't get my invite, but I'm sure I'll get the mass email that goes to all of us about the talking points and things.
Yeah, you have to get on the mass media Twitter stream.
Yeah, it's like the Pope tells every church what the sermon is each week, right? So
right.
That's us. We're all the sermon of the joint media conglomerate. No, that's not the way it is, but people love to throw us all together, and we're all the same, but we're not. Newspapers, I still say, do the best job, and there's other levels of quality, competent journalism, depending on your outlet. And there are websites that break a lot of good news, and I applaud for bringing out things first, and you know who they are. Smoking Gun does certain things. Drudge, years ago, broke certain stories. You know, they do good work at good times, but there are also places that clearly are into rumor-mongering, and there was an interesting, I believe it was Media Matters, put out a great Obama defense the other day that basically had all these alleged charges against Obama and the realities of how the word had spread. And you could probably do the same for McCain. You could probably do it for Palin, too. I'm sure there's things about her that, you know, there was a rumor that her baby was really her daughter's baby, and then, you know, that clearly wasn't true from all the proof. And, you know, if Daily Kos spun that the wrong way, then they should be criticized. But that doesn't mean they don't do other things that are positive. You know, you have to, the way this is going to shake out, it's going to take time, like it did with when broadcast first came out, when television first came out. The web is, you know, a broad grouping of a lot of different things, and the proper coverage is going to shake out just like it does at the newspapers. There are some newspapers that are more accurate and fair than others, and people will get to know the sites that are worth covering, but the others are out there, and they are allowed to be. That's the world of the internet. And if you think someone like this or anyone is going to get appointed who's not going to get scrutinized, you're crazy. But you know, news outlets and the news consumer have to be fair in who they are looking at and not lump this all together.
Joe, I've got lots more to ask you about this, but I know you're crunched for time. Can I impose on you to stick around for one more segment?
You got it.
All right, I appreciate it. Joe Strupp is a senior editor at editor and publisher and blogs at enppub.com. I'm Paul Harris, filling in for Francine, back in a moment on 84 WHAS. 72 degrees now in Louisville. I'm Paul Harris, filling in for Francine, and talking with Joe Strupp. He's a senior editor for editorandpublisher.com, which keeps its eye on the press and what they're doing. And we've been talking about the battle between the Sarah Palin supporters and the media. I know that sounds monolithic, but that's the way the Republicans have framed it. And she brought it up in her speech the other night. Joe, is it possible for a vice presidential candidate to go the next 60 days without talking directly to the press, without having any news conferences?
Well, first of all, it's liberal left-wing media. Get that right.
Okay? I'm sorry.
That's what we all are. No, that's going to be interesting. You know, it's funny, this week the McCain camp was upset at CNN because of Campbell Brown's interview. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
One of the McCain leaders, where she really pressed him to say what has, you know, they're saying Palin has headed the, Alaska National Guard or Alaska...
Commander-in-Chief as governor of the Alaska National Guard.
Right,
yeah.
And she said Campbell Brown basically was pressuring this McCain person to say, what has she done? What decisions has she made specifically? Which I think is a fair question. And so then McCain's people pulled out of a Larry King interview, I believe. So then the same week, Barack Obama goes on
Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly, and I give O'Reilly credit because I think he asked some very fair, direct questions that a lot of people haven't asked Obama. So, you know, you have to have Palin face the interviews, and that is going to be key. She's also going to have to face a debate, although only one debate, with Joe Biden. And, you know, people are saying, how will Biden handle it? He can't seem to be bullying her, but he also has to be sharp. And she's no, you know, wallflower. She definitely is tough-minded, tough-talking, very good at articulating herself. But you're right, she's going to have to face interviews. I think Obama showed he's willing to show up. Now, the rest of O'Reilly's interview comes out next week. We'll see what the rest of it looks like. I think he came off well. I think O'Reilly seemed fair. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Palin handles interviews.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, the vice presidential debate, which never gets any kind of ratings, this year is going to have a huge tune-in.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be big. You know, I think maybe the last big one was Quayle, Benson.
Right.
Where Benson really, you know, knocked out Quayle. But then again, there's a great example. You know, Quayle was considered a bad pick and insufficient and lost the debate, but Bush Sr. still won. So it doesn't mean you're going to lose this thing. And Obama's people, I think, know they can't count on anything here. But this is a different quality to it in that whatever you thought of Quayle, he didn't seem to have the kind of baggage that Palin has and that McCain has to face in terms of, you know, McCain is older. He's going to be, I believe, he would be the oldest first-term president. So the speculation on the Veep is a little sharper. You know, anything could happen with him. He looks in good health. He's probably fine. He could probably serve 4 years. But, you know, that's the question in the back of your mind. You really need someone ready to jump in. But he's not, you know, at a level of a Tom Eagleton. And there's been a couple things written in recent days comparing the two. I talked to Clark Hoyt, the public editor of the New York Times, who was the reporter then for Night Newspapers in 72, who broke the Eagleton story. He also agreed that this isn't Eagleton level because he had real debilitating depression problems, according to Hoyt. And obviously Palin is her problems aren't related to her mental illness of any kind, but there are questionable aspects. There is 2 months of this. There's blogs, as you brought up. There's a lot more coverage than there was in 72 or even in, you know, 88.
And I'm glad you brought up Obama on O'Reilly, because it was a classic case of if you go on the show, you can actually lessen the negative impact. You know, David Letterman used to say this about Hillary Clinton for all those years. He made fun of her. As soon as she came on the show, he didn't completely stop making fun of her, but it lessened. And I wonder if we're going to see a little bit of that with O'Reilly. While he was certainly being tough with Obama last night, it also was a little bit of respect that you don't normally see, and it's much tougher to attack somebody when their knees are 6 inches from yours.
Right, and it was an interesting setup that they did with the two chairs right there. I've been on O'Reilly a few times. He's hard on you, but there is an element of, I think he says, you know, okay, Obama's here. I have to at least give him a chance. And Obama can't, you know, Obama can't blow up at him. And if O'Reilly blows up, you know, neither of them gets helped. Some people might say, well, why is Obama going on with this guy? You know, his audience is not probably going to vote for Obama. He can make a mistake and hurt himself more than he can help. But if the rest of the interview is like what we saw last night, there's a definite chance for him to make some points. And O'Reilly, to his credit, you know, gave some positive comment about Obama. And then there's stories today that this was apparently the first time Obama believed the surge in Iraq was working. Although now you see Bob Woodward's book is being leaked out, and he has elements in that book that claim the surge wasn't responsible for a drop of violence. So, you know, all this coming down in a matter of hours, different aspects of Iraq, different aspects of this campaign.
There certainly is a ton of stuff to cover, and it's going to be interesting to see how the next 61 days play out. Joe, I appreciate your insight. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you. Anytime.
Joe Strupp is the senior editor and editor and publisher. You'll find him online in their blog at empub.com. That's what they call it, the E&P Pub. That's the name of their blog. I'm Paul Harris, back with more of the Francine Show in a moment here on 84 WHAS.